Brian Kilmeade here. Kilmeade and friends coming your way this hour on this snowy Monday in the Northeast where we are located. And man, I feel bad for those people who flew into New York, New Jersey, and then had trouble getting mass transit out of there. I mean, there was literally 20,000 people waiting when I was leaving the stadium at 11 p.m. last night. I just saw a train just sitting there. And guards just keeping these people in like a pack of wolves. And the EMTs running in and out. And then they have an early flight today or a noon flight today. And they're not getting out. So it's a good thing. If you went to the Super Bowl, I hope you got a parking pass and your own transportation. Because if you needed mass transportation, especially a train, you probably were there till 1, 2 in the morning. Can you believe an announcement that says you could go back to the stadium rather than wait on the plane? I've never heard that in my life. Wait on the train on the tarmac there. Joining us now, Bill O'Reilly, who at 4:30 Eastern time yesterday sat down with the President of the United States in the White House. And I don't even know where he saw the game. He's the same Bill O'Reilly from the O'Reilly Factor and author of Killing Jesus, still amongst the top books in the country. Hey, Bill.
Hey.
Bill, where'd you watch the game?
Got home.
You got home?
Yeah. And I just hopped on a plane and zipped into Farmingdale and zipped home on Long Island.
Now, how aggravated would you have been had you gone to the first Super Bowl in New York, New Jersey history and then waited there for 2 hours for a train?
I would not have been pleased. But that's why I wouldn't go to those games.
You never go?
When you go to those games, and I've been to a few of them, everything's out of your control. I mean, you just don't have any control over anything. So, you know, when you're going, chaos can break out at any moment.
Well, I watched your interview. I thought you did a really excellent job. Here's the hardest thing. And I watched Brett Baer try to do it, and I watched the first time in 2011. You see the clock ticking, and the president's answers are so long. And you don't want to be perceived as rude and disrespecting the office. How hard did you work on this 10 minutes?
I did my usual preparation. I knew what I wanted to do going in. Not questions. I don't write down individual questions, but I have the subject matter. And you saw only half of the interview because we taped the other half, and we'll have that on the Factor tonight. And that's good, too. I knew the president wasn't going to want to answer some of these questions, but it's my job to ask them. And in the second interview, the one you'll see tonight, that comes up, and I said, listen, it's my job to ask you this stuff. This is what I'm supposed to do. So it's good. It's back and forth, and it's entertaining, and I did my job.
Here is a little of your give and take when it really started. You started with Obamacare, and you also talked about the IRS, and you also discussed Benghazi. Here it goes. Cut one.
Why didn't you fire Sebelius, the secretary in charge of this? Yeah. Because, I mean, she had to know after all those years and all that money that it wasn't going to work.
You know, my main priority right now is making sure that it delivers for the American people.
And you're not going to answer that?
What we've ended up doing is we've got 3 million people signed up so far. We're about a month behind of where we anticipated we wanted to be. We've got over 6 million people who've signed up for Medicaid.
Yeah.
We've got 3 million young people under the age of 26 who are signed up on their parents' plan. And so what we're constantly figuring out is how do we continue to improve it? How do we make sure that the folks who don't have health insurance can get health insurance and those who are underinsured are able to get better health insurance?
I'm sure that the intent is noble, but I'm a taxpayer.
Yeah.
And I'm paying Kathleen Sebelius a salary, and she screwed up.
Yeah.
And you're not holding her accountable.
Yeah.
And so what I think you're getting at is if you're not to blame because you didn't really know about it, then she's certainly to blame. No, someone has to be to blame.
No, absolutely. And he's just not going to do it. He's not going to boot her out of there. And the reason I think is because he just doesn't think it's that important. I mean, he's a guy who doesn't look back. And, you know, if it's an unpleasant situation, he wants to get it behind him. And I think that Hillary Clinton and him discussed the Benghazi thing. And I said, you know, she said, well, what does it matter now? It's over. You know, we'll fix it. And so why are we continuing to have this conversation? That's his point of view. And so, you know, it's hard to, I have to ask the questions, but my expectation that he's going to do anything, you know, he's not. He's not going to fire her, and that's that. He's the president, and if he's not going to fire her, he's not going to fire her.
How effective would it be, in your judgment, just your opinion now? I know you're very hesitant about giving your opinion, so this is going to be tough for you.
I know.
But What is wrong with saying, you know, I'm looking at Obamacare. They told me everything was on course, and to roll out October 1st is an embarrassment to me and the country. It's my hallmark piece of legislation. I'm going to get this thing straightened out. I'm as aggravated as you are. But instead, it is, oh, yeah, it's unfortunate that the grandfather clause was taken out. By who took it out without telling you is the answer. And now let's just pretend everything's fine. But the bottom line is this is something that he can't spin his way out of because it's everyone's kitchen table.
Yeah, but again, he doesn't see it that way. He sees it as just an annoyance, not an important situation. So that I'm basically a mosquito that's annoying him with this stuff, and he's got bigger and better things to do. And that's his attitude. That's what he believes.
Here is what he did in all three of the major topics you brought up.
Your detractors believe that you did not tell the world it was a terror attack because your campaign didn't want that out.
Bill, think about
it. That's what they believe.
And they believe it because folks like you are telling them. I mean, these kinds of things keep on surfacing, in part because you and your TV station will promote them.
He did it a lot. What's your reaction to that?
Well, it's a classic tactic that politicians use to divert attention away from a question they don't want to answer. I mean, he answered the question. He said Panetta did not tell him outright it was a terror attack. I had to pull it out of him, but that's what he said. So, you know, he told me it was an attack of some kind. Now, we know Ham, the general, told Panetta, the defense secretary, it was a terror attack. That's on the record in front of the Senate Armed Services Committee. But the president is saying that Panetta didn't go in and tell him that. Now, does the president care? No, I don't think he does. I just don't think he cares about that. You know, I mean, people have to understand what the state of mind is of the president. And his state of mind is he's doing the right thing for the country. Guys like Fox News are criticizing him, and that's not a good thing for the folks, so that we're the enemy.
He, a couple of days into his administration, as you know, as much as anyone, he was blaming Rush Limbaugh and the Republican Party a couple of days in. Do you believe it's because, do you believe that he's obsessed that he has one critic because he doesn't have many critics in his life? Do you sense that he watches?
No, he doesn't watch. I don't think he has the time to watch, but he gets a summation. His people brief him about, you know, who's saying what. And I don't think he's a guy that in his life has gotten a lot of direct criticism. And he's always been the golden guy, very smart guy, an achiever, very high achiever, successful in almost everything he's done. So when somebody comes in and says, hey, you know, you're screwing up, he's not real happy. So, but all in all, I asked the questions that had to be asked. He answered them the way he wanted to answer them. And you guys make the call. I think it was a worthy interview.
I do, too. Now, tell me what it was like when the cameras were off.
I have a cordial relationship with him. We have, you know, he's a sportsman. He likes basketball. And, you know, we talk about things like that. History, he likes history, and I'm a historian, so are you. So he likes that. There's common ground. We don't talk politics off the camera, but it's cordial.
And you flew out right away. And what are we going to get tonight?
It's good. It's good because, you know, once the cameras went off on the live deal, then we had, you know, about 12, 15 minutes on other topics like Little Sisters of the Poor, the Keystone Pipeline, why poverty, what drives poverty, and then more on the Fox News thing. I mean, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? So it's a more personal off camera, I mean, on the tape side. And we're going to run it, you know, tonight, most of it, and we'll put it all on BillO'Reilly.com. So it's good. I think people will learn a lot from watching the second half of it.
Bill, when you walked into the White House and I'm wondering who you saw, and did you sense any, did you sense long looks? Did you get engaged in any interesting conversations? Did people wish you weren't there? Glad you were there?
Well, the Secret Service guys love me, and I think Fox News in general. So that's the first guys you see. And they're wanting pictures and all that, and that's fine. You know, I respect those guys. So that, you know, we get a very good welcome from the Secret Service guys. Jay Carney wasn't happy to see us. I mean, you know, He doesn't have any use for us or me. But the rest of the staff was, you know, mostly lower staffers and very professional. You know, our crew was treated respectfully across the board. You know, you know me long enough. I don't brook any of that. You know, there's always going to be professional when we walk in. My crew is professional. They conduct themselves in a certain way, and we expect whoever we're dealing with to do the same. And about 100% of the time they do. We never have any trouble.
I just know, I know the situation, being that I get out there a lot, and that, you know, when people really want to talk to you and people are tolerating you. So there are differences. Like you said, the Secret Service wanted to talk to you.
Sure. And but I don't care. That doesn't bother me at all.
I know you don't.
I mean,
I know. I just take it
in what I'm supposed to be doing there. As soon as I finished the interview, President and I posed for a picture in front of a flag, and I bolted. I was back on Long Island within an hour. So I'm not schmoozing around. You know, I'm not rude. But, I got stuff I got to do.
All right. Now, I want to bring you to a tweet that Hillary Clinton put out. Very coy. This. After your interview, she put this out. Says this. It's so much fun to watch Fox when it's somebody else being blitzed and sacked. My question to Bill O'Reilly is, do you feel, no wrong answer, do you feel that has something to do with you or Peyton Manning? One more time. It's so much fun to watch Fox when it's someone else getting blitzed and sacked. Do you think it's she's depicting you and Obama, or do you think it's Manning getting blitzed by?
Yeah, no, I don't think it was an Obama reference. I doubt the secretary even watched the interview. I think she's doing what the president does. She's setting up Fox as the straw man. When she runs for president, she can do any kind of criticism coming her way from us. She can just go, oh, you know, it's those Fox people. That's what I think she's doing. So she took a little jab. But I think that absolutely she's going to set that up, that mechanism that, you know, don't listen to these people. They don't like me from the jump.
Just quick thing, something that emerged from the Fox interviews. John Elway said, I'm much more like-minded with the GOP. Do you project that a guy like him who's already had this business success now, has got all these dealerships across the country, do you think he's going to be a player?
He could run for governor of Colorado if he wanted to. I don't know him, so I don't know whether he has that kind of aspiration. But certainly he could run for governor of Colorado, and I think he could win. But, again, I just don't know. I don't know him.
Now, I went to the game. Do you have any questions for me?
You know, I was surprised that the Broncos lost their poise because they played so disciplined against New England. New England was a pretty good team. But they were just awful yesterday.
Terrible.
And that it wasn't so much Seattle won the game, although they played well. It was Denver was ridiculous. And I'm not saying that with any kind of rancor, but it was ridiculous. They weren't ready to play. They looked shaky on almost every sequence, including Peyton Manning. I don't know what was going on. I've never seen a poorer performance in a modern-day Super Bowl than that. That was the worst I've ever seen, and I'm a football fan.
Well, that is Bill O'Reilly's breakdown of the big game, and tonight we're going to have the rest of the interview. Anybody else on your show?
It'll be all that. We have a Waters World. He went out to these ridiculous parties, you know, Jay-Z and all these
Howard Stern
heads. So Waters infiltrated them. It's pretty funny, I have to say. So I'll be mostly analyzing the president's interview with me.
Well, Bill, congratulations on killing Jesus, killing Kennedy, and a great interview on Sunday night with just about 100 million people watching. Not bad.
A lot of people saw it, kill me. Thanks for having me in.
All right. You owe me a favor.
Good.
All right. Talk to you later. When we come back, a guy named Brett Baer is on live.
Kilmeade and Friends.